The cases of the January 6th protesters are one by one moving to final adjudication. And as we look closer at them, we can see in them the face of American justice, or perhaps I should say injustice. The injustice, not merely of the Biden administration, but also of these judges. In this case, I'm going to be talking about an Obama appointee named Randolph Moss, Judge Randolph Moss. The defendant whose case I'm focusing on is Paul Hodgkins, 38 years old, from Tampa, Florida. And I'm now going to read from the court documents talking about what this man actually did. Paul Hodgkins entered the U.S. Capitol building at approximately 2:50 p.m. on January 6th. Around 3 p.m., Hodgkins entered the Senate chamber, walked among the desks, and then removed his eye goggles. He took a selfie-style photograph with his cell phone and walked down the Senate well, the Senate pit, where, a few feet away, several individuals were shouting, praying, and cheering using a bullhorn. Hodgkins walked toward the individuals and remained standing with them while they continued commanding the attention of others. At approximately 3:15 p.m., Hodgkins exited the Senate chamber and the U.S. Capitol building. So that's what this guy did. He was wearing a Trump t-shirt, he was carrying a Trump flag, and he took a selfie. He's a nonviolent guy. He came unarmed. He didn't harm anyone, and as far as we know, he didn't touch anyone. And yet, he's portrayed by the prosecutor with the ultimate acquiescence of the judge as a dangerous threat to democracy. Now, the judge at one point does ask the prosecutors, he says, this guy is not a violent guy. He didn't do anything violent. And the prosecutors basically say, well, yes, he did. That's because he was standing in a group that was generating or causing an intimidating influence. So the group that is supposedly shouting and praying is, according to the prosecutor, exercising intimidation. And this guy was just standing there, but he's found, in a sense, culpable for the actions of the group. And then the judge says, was anyone actually, you know, hurt, harmed in any way by this man? And the prosecutor goes, yes, of course. Who? Well, he says, well, think of all the people. He says, think of all the lawmakers, the staff, the law enforcement who were trapped inside the building and hiding. It was the collective influence of this crowd that made them do that. And the prosecutor says many of them will bear, quote, emotional scars, end quote, for the rest of their lives. Now, you might think that the judge at this point would be like, are you serious? But no, the judge himself gets caught up in this and he goes along with the frenzy. I'm not going to quote him. This is Obama appointee, as I say, Randolph Moss. And you get an idea of what's really bothering him. It comes clearly out in what he says, and I'm quoting him. To make matters worse, Mr. Hodgkins stood next to the dais of the United States Senate, in the well of the Senate, and raised the red flag that said Trump 2020 in large white letters. The symbolism of that act is unmistakable. This is the judge talking. He was making a claim on the floor of the United States Senate, not with an American flag, but with a flag declaring his loyalty to a single individual over the nation. How does the judge know that? How does the judge know that he is somehow choosing the individual over the nation just because he thinks that Trump really won the election? The judge goes on, that act captured the threat to democracy that we all witnessed that day. What's the threat to democracy? Trump is one of the candidates running for election of one of the two major parties. To believe that he won and to go to Washington, go to the Capitol to demand accountability, that's a threat to democracy? Or is that an exercise of democracy? Is it a threat to the Constitution or an exercise of your First Amendment rights under the Constitution? And the judge gives this guy, Paul Hodgkins, 8 months in prison. He's going to be a lifelong felon. As he himself told the judge, I'm going to lose my job at the auto shop. I'm going to be moved out of my rental apartment. So you're ruining this man's life for doing what? And then, of course, on social media, you have these leftists. Here's Amy Siskind. 8 months for trying to violently overthrow our government. No, Amy, this was not a violent man. He didn't do anything violent. Why don't you kind of harness your commentary to actual facts? So the bloodlust of the left, lies of the prosecution, and the emotional blindness of the judge, either he's a willing accomplice, or he is, in a sense, a kind of, someone who just can't see, he's so removed from reality that he can't understand what would motivate a man like Paul Hodgkins to do what he did. And so here's a guy who is facing, you may say, he's a political prisoner of sorts. And for just speaking his mind and showing a little bit of daring and hurting no one, here's a man who sees the rest of his life ruined.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. So much sadness, but honestly, so many great stories right now. Texas Democrats, the ones who fled to Washington, D.C., the freedom fighters, the ones who came on a pilgrimage with nothing but a case of Miller Lite and the coronavirus. Well, it turns out they've just claimed several more victims. A White House official and an aide to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, have tested positive for COVID-19. Apparently, they got it from the pilgrims from Texas. In a moment, we'll have an update on the conditions of the victims and the scale of the super spreader event. But first tonight, there are a lot of different ways to sell out to China if you're looking to do that. If you're an unscrupulous finance mogul in New York, for example, you can just prop up the Chinese economy with billions in investment. Wall Street has been doing that for decades. If you're an elected official in Washington with a flair for demagoguery, you can do your part by pretending that the real threat to this country isn't the rise of Chinese power and ambition. No. The real threat is that dastardly Vladimir Putin and his team of secret agents and his network of Macedonian troll farms. You just go on television a lot and say that, and maybe people will believe you. The question is, what if you don't have the money or the rhetorical skills to do either one of those things, but you still want to help? What if you're a not very bright third-string Democratic congressman from the East Bay? How can you do your part for Xi Jinping? Well, you could just find a Chinese spy and then have sex with her, repeatedly. That's what Eric Swalwell did. Now, we're not going to get into the details of their relationship because this is a family show and honestly, it's pretty creepy. But we can tell you the spy's name was Fang Fang. And no, we're not making that up. Fang Fang, unfortunately, is not available to join us on the show tonight. She's fled back to her handlers on the Chinese mainland ahead of a Justice Department investigation. But amazingly, Eric Swalwell is still with us. He's still around. In fact, he's been elevated to a seat on the House Intel Committee, the perfect reward for the boyfriend of a Chinese spy. In a city obsessed with collusion with foreign powers, Eric Swalwell exits his relationship with the Chinese spy and ascends to the Intel Committee. It does make you wonder. Swalwell, you'll recall, came from nowhere 9 years ago to beat one of the most powerful and longest-serving members of Congress, Fortnoy Pete Stark. It took an awful lot of money to do that, but somehow, despite being mediocre and inarticulate and totally unknown and very young, Eric Swalwell had the money to do that. So where did that money come from? Good question. After the election, the FBI determined that Eric Swalwell had raised most of that money illegally. A donor called James Tong had supplied the money without complying with campaign finance laws. To this day, we have no idea where most of that cash came from. Swalwell, of course, pleaded ignorance. And because he's dumb, the authorities apparently believed him. How would he know he was breaking the law? The guy's an idiot. That was their reasoning. Swalwell blushed and promised never to do it again. So from the very first day, there have been real questions about this Eric Swalwell character, if that is indeed his real name. But you'd never know it now. Such is the magic of resume laundering and the distorting power of the American news media. Even a moron with a weakness for sex with Chinese spies over time begins to look like Henry Kissinger if he does enough cable news hits. And that's exactly where Eric Swalwell is today. The spy's boy toy is now an elder statesman. That's his personal assessment of himself. Listen.
It's pro wrestling, to be honest. Many of my colleagues are better suited to work at the WWE. And I say that about Gates because I've worked with him on marijuana issues. I've worked with him on other issues, especially really before Trumpism took off and he turned into a character. And he would, there were times where he would laugh at himself about how stupid he had to act, you know, to keep, you know, the act going.
I've been working on marijuana issues, says Eric Swalwell, but the rest of those guys, they're all clowns, says Swalwell, adjusting his plastic nose and fright wig and applying more grease paint. I'm the only serious person in this building, me and Fang Fang. It is just too funny. Meanwhile, wasn't it just last week that we got that picture of Eric Swalwell grinning shirtless on a camel in Qatar as his faithful servant of color, his coolie, looked on adoringly in the foreground? Eric Swalwell, the great white hunter of Alameda, leopards fear him. That particular camel hunt, by the way, was paid for by business interests in the Persian Gulf. Oh, so we're starting to sense a theme here. Eric Swalwell has a problem with money. Shocked? You shouldn't be. Like so many progressives, Swalwell's deepest desire is to live like a rich guy out of some movie. And that's difficult on a congressman's salary, so corners get cut. Here's the latest example of that. Campaign finance records obtained by Fox News show that Eric Swalwell spent thousands in campaign contributions. That's money he raised to run for office, money he is prohibited by federal law from spending on himself. He spent that money on expenses that seem suspiciously like personal luxuries. Those would include limo rides, booze deliveries, high-end steakhouses. And some of those expenditures appear very clearly to be for personal use. And again, that's illegal. For example, one order at the alcohol delivery service Drizzly was for under $10. Was that a campaign event? No. The man just wanted his tequila sunrise and he wanted it now. And so the donors paid for it. Most interestingly, on the disclosure form, more than $20,000 of Eric Swalwell's campaign expenditures went to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Half Moon Bay, California. Now, weirdly, or maybe not so weirdly, Eric Swalwell's wife is an executive at that very hotel. So clever members of Congress, the honest ones, don't do things like that. And when they do things like that, they tend to get in very deep trouble. In fact, it was just 2 years ago that Congressman Duncan Hunter of San Diego, same state, different party, pleaded guilty in federal court to stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign funds that he and his wife used for personal expenses. He went to jail for 11 months. Then in 2013, you'll also recall, Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. and his wife, both Democrats, went to prison for the same thing. Now, we're not saying Eric Swalwell should be charged with sleeping with a Chinese spy or for misusing campaign funds, but we do know that under the standards that Eric Swalwell himself has laid out, we're going to need an immediate federal investigation, possibly a special counsel.
The American people deserve to know what the Russians have exactly on Donald Trump. Whether it was witting or unwitting, the end result is just as destructive because the president has drawn us close to a foreign adversary who is not our friend.
Oh, Eric Swalwell is saying someone else drew close to a foreign adversary who's not our friend. Really, how close, Eric Swalwell? So what's going on with Eric Swalwell, and why don't we deserve to know what a sitting member of the House Intelligence Committee is doing with Russian spies, with his campaign contributions, and on that now famous camel in Qatar? And what does his coolie think of this? Does he really adore Eric Swalwell as he pretended to in the picture? Probably not. Let's subpoena him.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
Good evening. Over in Pennsylvania, one of the counties which was asked to hand over their election materials for an audit has decided to not comply. They are refusing to participate in the forensic audit, which means that a lawsuit is inevitably coming down the pipeline. Meanwhile, over in Washington, D.C., parents over there have filed a lawsuit over a new law. What law? Well, almost unbelievably, for the last 4 months, schools in Washington, D.C. have been allowed to vaccinate children in secret without telling their parents. And lastly, 2 days ago, it was announced that Mellogic, which is a COVID-19 testing company, they're the ones that designed that back-of-the-nose COVID test, they have just been bought out by a consortium backed by both George Soros as well as Bill Gates. Now, why exactly did Soros and Gates purchase this company? Well, let's go through that together. Now, imagine this for a moment. You live in our nation's capital. You're at home, it's 3:30 in the afternoon, and you're just sitting around the house enjoying a quiet day when suddenly your kid comes home from school. You look at him and you ask, "Hey Billy, how was your day?" And Billy looks at you and says, "It was all right. I learned some math, I learned some history, and then the nurse came by and she vaccinated me." And then you look at him and you think, "What? I don't remember consenting to such a thing. How could they inject my child with anything without first consulting me?" Well, this theoretical situation is exactly what parents over in Washington, D.C. are currently facing. And in fact, four parents have just filed a lawsuit against the District of Columbia, alleging that a new law, which allows vaccinations like this to take place, deprives parents of their constitutional right, as well as endangers children's safety by allowing minors as young as 11 years old to get vaccinated without their parents' consent or knowledge. Here's specifically how the lawyer who's representing these parents, here's how she described the situation. The law is reckless, unconstitutional, and needlessly endangers children's lives by stripping away parental protection and the protection of the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986. Now, the law in question, the law that she referred to in that statement, is relatively new. It's called the Minor Consent for Vaccinations Amendment Act of 2020, and it came into effect over in Washington, D.C. last March. And therefore, it's been on the books for only the past 4 months. And this new law, it allows children who are 11 years of age or older, so basically as long as they're at least 11 years old, to take any vaccines, including the COVID vaccine, without their parents' consent or knowledge, as long as two criteria are met. The vaccine has to be recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, and as long as the child is, and this is a quote from the law, capable of meeting the informed consent standard, meaning essentially that they can nod their heads yes. Here's specifically what the law states. A minor shall be deemed to meet the informed consent standard if the minor is able to comprehend the need for, the nature of, and any significant risks ordinarily inherent in the medical care. Furthermore, and almost unbelievably, under this new law, the school can actually hide these vaccinations from parents. Let me just repeat that. The school has the authority to vaccinate kids in secret and then prevent parents from finding out about it. For instance, let's say that you applied for a religious exemption or you opted your kid out from taking a certain vaccine. Under this new law, your child can still decide for himself to take the vaccine, and then the healthcare provider who actually administers the vaccine, they can leave a certain part of the immunization record blank so the parents won't find out. You heard that right. The law requires that the healthcare provider should send the immunization record directly to the child's school, and then the school should keep it confidential. Furthermore, here's what the law says about insurance. Healthcare providers shall seek reimbursement without parental consent directly from the insurer, and the insurer shall not send an explanation of benefits for services provided, meaning that the entire process can be clandestine without the parents ever finding out. Now, this new lawsuit, the one that was brought forth by the four parents, argues that by doing this, by allowing children to make these kinds of decisions and then hiding the facts from the parents, the law actually places the decision-making power squarely in the hands of the government. Here's another statement from the parents' lawyer, the lawyer who is representing the parents in this case. Here's what she said. The DC Act has dire implications for the health of children. If parents do not know their children were vaccinated at school, they may not recognize vaccine adverse reactions. Serious adverse reactions require immediate medical treatment and are contraindications to further vaccination. Now, we here at the Epoch Times, we reached out to the mayor of Washington, D.C. for comment, but she has yet to get back to us. However, here is a statement from Washington, D.C.'s public school chancellor, who was appointed by the mayor. Take a look. The science is clear. Vaccines are the single most effective tool we have to stop the spread of the coronavirus. To help meet our commitment to fully reopen schools for every student, every day in the fall, it is our responsibility as a community to get vaccinated, including our middle school and high school students. And obviously, it looks like they are getting fairly aggressive with pursuing that goal. Now, if you'd like to read more about this law out in Washington, D.C., or about this new lawsuit, which is challenging it in court, the links to all that will be down in the description box below this video for you to check out. However, while we are on the topic of vaccines and COVID generally, I would like to discuss a major corporate buyout. 2 days ago, it was announced that a consortium backed by George Soros and Bill Gates is conducting a buyout of Mellogic, which is a COVID-19 testing company. Now, if you're familiar with those tests for COVID where the swab goes deep into the back of the nose, well, Mellogic is the company that developed that test. And now they have been bought out by these two billionaires. Although the corporate structure of the buyout is a little confusing. In fact, let's go through it together via the statement that came from the Soros Economic Development Fund, which, by the way, is an arm of George Soros's Open Society Foundations. And in this statement, which was released 2 days ago, it lays out the purchase in this way. It describes it in this way, quote, "A group of philanthropic funds and investors led by the Soros Economic Development Fund, with support from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is today announcing the launch of Global Access Health. The members of Global Access Health will invest at least $41 million in this deal. The transaction involves the acquisition by the investing consortium of all Mellogic's existing shares." And so, to the best of my understanding, here's what it looks like. The Soros Economic Development Fund, which is an arm of the Open Society Foundations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as well as potentially other investors whom this letter doesn't specifically name, they formed a social enterprise called Global Access Health. Then, the members who form this enterprise, they will invest at least $41 million, completely buy out Mealogic, and transform it from a for-profit company into what they call a social enterprise. Now, the big question is why? Why exactly are they doing this? Well, to start with, let's discuss what Mealogic actually does. As a company, it was founded 18 years ago, back in 2003, and they worked to develop testing technology. They developed testing for things like infections, viruses, and so on. And according to this statement, this new consortium will integrate Mealogic with another company called Global Access Diagnostic. Now, the purpose of this integration is to, at least according to this statement, work in conjunction to provide low-cost diagnostic testing for countries over in South Asia as well as in Africa, which they say, and this is a quote, help combat tropical diseases such as dengue, bilharzia, and river blindness, as well as for COVID-19. Now, the president of Mealogic, he seemed to be very welcoming of this change. In fact, here's a statement that he made after this buyout was announced. Mealogic's transition into a social enterprise is a deliberate, logical, and natural step for a company focused on delivering affordable diagnostics and biotechnology to places that have been left underserved by the relentless pursuit of profiteering. With the support of our shareholders, donors, and partners, we have come a long way. We believe we have the people and the skills required for the challenges and opportunities ahead, and we hope this unique transaction will be an example for others to follow. Now, after that announcement was made, quite a few people were surprised by the involvement of George Soros' foundation, since most people associate him with funding left-wing political causes rather than health-related measures. For instance, prior to the 2020 election, George Soros launched a super PAC called the Democracy PAC, and he himself donated $5.1 million to it, which at that time was the single biggest contribution of any mega donor during the election. Furthermore, he has received quite a bit of blowback for providing massive amounts of funding to the election campaigns of left-wing prosecutors as well as district attorneys across the entire country, such as Kim Gardner, George Gaskin, Kim Fox, Larry Krasner, and Marilyn Mosby. However, there is a weird phenomenon when it comes to George Soros, because even though his left-wing philanthropy is open knowledge, it seems like you just cannot talk about it. And when you do, you get shut down. For example, take a look at this clip here from Fox News and notice how the anchors handle it when Newt Gingrich, who is the former Speaker of the House, when he talks about George Soros. Take a look.
Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it. I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
Okay. So it's verboten.
All right. We're going to. Okay. We're going to move on.
Regardless, if you would like to read more about this new virus testing venture, as well as George Soros' and Bill Gates' involvement in it, including this statement right here by the Soros Foundation, all that will be linked down there in the description box below this video for you to check out. And lastly, as we have already mentioned in several previous episodes, on the very same day that Joe Biden was sworn into office, YouTube made the unilateral decision to demonetize our program. We can now no longer run any ads before, during, or after our episodes, and the Super Chat feature has mysteriously been disabled. They're essentially snuffing out our ability to monetize our content, which is, by the way, besides any type of throttling and censorship that we've always experienced. However, we here at the Epic Times, we did not take it lying down, and instead we created something very cool. It's called Epic TV. It's our brand new no-censorship video platform where you can find all of the awesome Epic Times video programs, like American Thought Leaders, Crossroads with Joshua Phillip, Counterculture with Danielle D'Souza, Cash's Corner with Cash Patel, Real Talk with Wayne Dupree, California Insider, Life and Times, China in Focus, and of course, our show Facts Matter. And as I mentioned earlier, on there we publish exclusive episodes that you just will not find here on YouTube. Again, that link to Epic TV will be right there at the top of the description box. I hope you click on it. I hope you check it out. I hope you subscribe. And I hope that you join us on this journey of exploring this beautiful, beautiful world through honest journalism that's based in truth and tradition. Now, lastly, if you haven't already, smash that like button for the YouTube algorithm. Subscribe to this YouTube channel in order to get this type of honest news content delivered directly into your YouTube feed while YouTube still allows it. You can also follow me on Instagram if you have an account at Epic Times Roman. I publish memes and behind-the-scenes research. And then until next time, I'm your host, Roman from the Epic Times. Stay informed and stay free.
It is official. Tomorrow marks 6 months to the day that Joe Biden was sworn into office. And unsurprisingly, well, I can start out by saying it's been an unmitigated disaster on multiple fronts ever since. Joe Biden, let's see, the guy that cheated his way through law school, caught plagiarizing multiple speeches as a politician. Of course, he coasted on Obama's coattails as vice president. But you can't fake your way through being the president of the United States, except the media mob covers for you and you're in the media mob protection program. But now, sadly, we are all suffering the consequences. So tonight, the six-month anniversary of Joe, let's break down issue by issue and let us grade Biden's performance, shall we? First up, let's look at the hostile actor Vladimir Putin from the hostile regime, the country known as Russia. On the campaign trail, Joe Biden falsely accused President Trump of being too soft on Russia, even referring to Donald Trump as Putin's puppet. And Biden's tough talk was apparently reserved just for Donald Trump. Well, his first 6 months in office, it was Joe Biden that bent over backwards to please Vladimir. It's Biden who is really Putin's puppet, likely compromised due to the $3.5 million that his son Zero Experience Hunter got for his company from the Russian oligarch, former First Lady of Moscow. Imagine if that was a Trump kid. We now know that some of that money went to Joe himself. And get this, after Russian hackers disrupted America's most important oil and gas pipeline and other hacks that took place, Biden rewards Russia by lifting all U.S. sanctions, granting a waiver on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline project from Russia into Germany, our Western European allies, all while firing high-paying career jobs for those American workers on the Keystone XL pipeline right here in the U.S. Next, after another Russia hack targeted our food supply and our meat supply, Biden again rewarded Putin with a one-on-one summit in Europe. The so-called summit produced zero concessions from Vladimir Putin. So Biden's grade will start here for handling Russia and Putin. Yeah, that would be a big fat F. No one in modern history has been weaker on Russia than Joe Biden. Now, keep in mind, Russia, along with China, they're now supplying Iran with weaponry, the number one state sponsor of terror, and they're providing supplies to conduct their proxy wars and their terror campaign all around the world. That didn't stop Joe Biden from greenlighting and pressuring South Korea to hand over $7 billion in frozen assets to the Iranian mullahs. Now, this is Iran, we now know, is once again enriching uranium under Joe's watch at an accelerated rate. It's clearly on track to develop a nuclear weapon. That's happening on Joe's watch. Now, remember, this is the same Iranian regime that has a stated goal of wiping Israel and the United States off the face of the planet, and the same Iran that chants death to Israel, death to America, and burns both our flags. The same Iranian regime that just tried to kidnap right here in our country a journalist in New York City. But instead of punishing Iran, Joe is appeasing the mullahs in Iran, even lifting sanctions in spite of these open hostilities. It looks like the Iranian mullahs own Joe Biden. So Joe gets another F, as Iran is now more, they're now more emboldened than ever before. And sadly, Biden's performance surrounding China, well, that might be even worse. Biden is refusing to hold China accountable in any way for the death, destruction, and damage of COVID-19. He remains pretty much silent as China is threatening our ally, Taiwan, and saying, oh, yeah, there's going to be reunification. In other words, we're taking over. He can't be bothered to address last week China, their hostile maneuvers in the South China Sea. He has no response to China's public threats. They are making threats against the United States and our ally Japan and our military bases, and not a word from Joe. No response whatsoever. And just this week, Chinese hackers, they were responsible for another major cyber attack against the United States. But Joe Biden's response is, once again, non-existent. Oh, that's right. The Bidens aren't just compromised by Russia and Ukraine and Kazakhstan. That's right. Zero Experience Hunter got a $1.5 billion deal with the Bank of China and a $100,000 shopping spree for his family from a Chinese national. For these reasons, let's give Joe another well-deserved F. Domestically, Biden is also performing extraordinarily poorly. Inflation is at its highest rate in 20 years. Everything you buy, gas, food, goods, services, you're paying more every single day for every item. He gets an F on inflation, and this is a massive tax on everyone, but it especially hurts those people that live paycheck to paycheck, the lower, up middle class America. They're getting hurt the most. It impacts everything you buy. It impacts heating and cooling your homes. It impacts filling your car with gasoline, $1.25 more per gallon for gas, thanks to Joe. And so another, well, we'll say F for Joe on energy. And once again, we're energy independent, and Trump made us energy independent for the first time in 75 years. We all benefited financially and for national security reasons. And by the way, Joe Biden's attempt to ram through the Green New Deal under the guise of human infrastructure. I thought infrastructure was roads and bridges and tunnels. No, human infrastructure is the new Green Deal, except with a fancier name, while also raising corporate taxes. That's right. As he raises and proposes his corporate tax increase, that means costs will continue to go even further beyond inflation, beyond the higher cost of energy being used to get products to shelves in the stores. Because, yeah, those trucks that bring them there, they're all paying a fortune more. Corporations, I've said many times, they don't pay taxes. They either cut salaries, cut jobs, and then they pass the rest on to we, the people, the consumers. So he gets a big fat F on the economy as well. And meanwhile, at our southern border, a major crisis is now ongoing. We have open borders. We got kids in the middle of a pandemic in overcrowded cages. Laws are not enforced. They are facilitating lawbreaking, and they're aiding and abetting in the process. And Joe lifted all of President Trump's successful border protections. He ended all of Trump's policies, and those policies were working. And then he tasked, well, one of Washington's most incompetent politicians with solving the crisis. That would be his vice president, Kamala Harris. It's so bad, we're going to give Joe Biden three F's for his handling on the border, which brings us to an important question. Why did Joe Biden put Kamala Harris in charge of the southern border? Why is Kamala Harris holding regular meetings with the Secretary of State? Why is she routinely the one making and taking one-on-one calls with world leaders and hosting them in Washington, D.C.? Is there something wrong with Joe Biden? Now, keep in mind, President Trump conducted interviews, held impromptu press conferences, almost every day at times, with very few exceptions. Joe Biden hasn't done an interview with the American press in 68 days. That's the on top of the only one that he gave previously. He averages less than one public event every workday. He goes into hiding on every weekend. His public facing time amounts to around maybe 3 hours a week. That's it. And during his short scripted events, he's usually reading from a teleprompter quite poorly or from a note card and still getting confused. He almost never takes questions because he claims he's going to get in trouble. They'll yell at him. His staff will be mad. And still during the rare public appearances, Joe Biden struggles mightily. And he appears to be very blunt. This is objective. He appears to be getting worse almost by the day. Take a look. You decide.
This is enough vaccine to fully vaccinate 300 Americans by end of the summer, the beginning of the fall. But we want to make, look, that's, I want to repeat, it'll be enough to fully vaccinate 300 Americans to beat this pandemic, 300 million Americans.
I have a card. I carry a card with me every day with the total number of folks who have been affected by the as of yesterday.
I want to thank the former general. I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there.
I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as a director of the AFT. David knows the AFT well.
Visit vaccines.com. .gov, vaccines.com, or text your zip code to 438829.
But there's, beginning
this effort for 2021 is, I think we've learned a few lessons.
We hold these truths self-evident, that all men and women, we haven't lived up to it completely, but we've always widened the arc of commitment.
The jobs that are going to be created here.
I'll be in better shape to talk to you about it. I'll tell you what they sent me.
1-1000, 2-1000. I can't even, in good conscience, joke about this anymore because it's not funny. This isn't good. Now, if we can see this, and by the way, 57% of the American people see it, and we're probably one of the few shows in the country that actually shows it. That's how viral this is now becoming. People see that, yeah, they don't really think he's in charge. America's enemies also see this. This is deadly serious. And they're looking to exploit the United States at every turn, and they're doing it right before our eyes. Joe Biden is a cognitive mess. His radical socialist staff, that whoever's in charge, they're promoting horrific policies, of the squad and Bernie Sanders. His vice president, frankly, seems clueless also. His administration is failing on so many fronts. Matter of fact, what has he done well? 6 months in, it's not going well. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.